I wanted to spend a little bit of time with you talking about the experiences of one of the apostles, John, with Jesus. And it reveals two aspects of the one that we know as Jesus Christ or Jesus the Christ. Jesus Christ is not like a name like Gavin Phillips, because Christ is a description and a title, Jesus the Christ. And as I'm sure you're all aware, that word Christ is Christos in the Greek, and it is the anointed one. And in Hebrew, it is Messiah, the anointed one, the chosen one. Jesus the chosen one, Jesus the anointed one. And it points to two dimensions of Jesus that in the experience of John were profound. If you've got your Bibles there, you might like to turn to John 13. This is the account of the Last Supper. And we want to read a portion of that scripture, and then we're going to read a portion of Revelation chapter 1. And in this I trust our understanding and our appreciation of this one, Jesus the Christ, who he is for us and how we can be with him might grow and deepen in the reality of our walk through life. Our Redeemer is Jesus the Christ. So in John 13, we read around verse 12, about the washing of the disciples' feet. And so beginning at verse 12, we read, "When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place," that is Jesus. "Do you understand what I've done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I've set an example that you should do as I have done for you. Verily, truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. I'm not referring to all of you. I know those I've chosen, but this is to fulfill this passage of scripture. He who shared my bread has turned against me. I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you'll believe that I am who I am. Very truly, I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one that is the Father who sent me." After he said this, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, "Very truly, I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." His disciples stared at one another, at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Now, just to pause there, it's often considered that this reference, which is only in John's Gospel, to the one, the disciple that Jesus loved, the beloved of the Lord, is in fact the Apostle John. It's not conclusive, but that is the common assumption. He's never named, but it's clearly one of the 11. Because remember, Judas Iscariot becomes the betrayer of Jesus. Usually John, I'm going to assume that it is the Apostle John, the disciple that was beloved of Jesus. So one of them, the disciples who Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" And then it goes on to describe, and I'll leave that part of the passage for you to read. It is that couple of verses that I'm interested to draw your attention to. Now, that's the NIV version, and the NIV and a number of translations are a little bit coy about the actual situation. Remember, in those times, people didn't sit on chairs at a meal table the way we do. Rather, they were sitting virtually on the floor on cushions, often, or an extremely low bench, and reclining. You will have seen the picture of the Last Supper it's the Sistine Chapel, I think. Not an exact representation. So it's a more Middle Eastern sort of situation. Listen to the way the New American Standard Bible, which seeks to be a very accurate and literal translation, if a little wooden, takes those few verses, verses 22 to 23. The disciples began to look at one another at a loss to know of which one he was speaking. Lying back on Jesus' chest was one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. So Simon Peter nodded to this disciple and said to him, tell us who it is whom he is speaking. He then simply leaned back on Jesus' chest and said to him, Lord, who is it? It's a picture, and that's a pretty accurate rendition of the Greek. It is a very casual, intimate sort of situation. One would say, in regard to Jesus, he's being a little bit forward, this apostle, this John. Casual in this relationship. Very relaxed, yes? He's just leaning back, literally, on Jesus and just sort of, you can imagine, just looks back and, who is it, Jesus? It's remarkable, isn't it? Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, is totally comfortable in that degree of intimacy and casualness. Turn with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter 1. It is, I'm assuming, the same John, as I said earlier. Verse 9, John begins to explain what he had experienced on the Isle of Patmos. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and the kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's Day, which is taken to mean as a reference to Sunday, the day that Christ rose from the dead, the day after the Jewish Sabbath. On the Lord's Day, I was in the Spirit. So he is having a spiritual experience, an ecstatic experience, a mystical experience. And I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead. And now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. John is experiencing the same person that he had leant back on and looked up into Jesus' face and asked that question during that time together we call the Last Supper. And what he sees is the same person and yet radically different. He is seeing what could be described as the cosmic Christ, the one who has is the Lord of all. The same person, the other dimension of this person. He experienced the human Jesus, fully human. Someone that you can be completely open with, completely intimate with, completely relaxed with, at ease. And now he's experiencing the Christ, the anointed one, the chosen one, now crowned with all authority over heaven and earth, Lord of time, Lord of all creation, upholding all things. And he is aghast at what he experiences, what he sees. And Jesus says, Jesus the Christ says, do not be afraid. Brothers and sisters, can I encourage you to embrace the fullness of Jesus the Christ? He is for you the one, the Jesus, with whom you can be totally at ease, totally comfortable with, totally open with. The one who understands you has experienced your humanity, what it means to be human, who is totally for you. His heart is for you. But he is also the Christ, the one who is Lord, and you need not be afraid, but he is also the Lord, and all of the things which are so big for you, so challenging, so unknown, he is Lord of. He is your God. He is your Christ. You can trust him in the midst of all of the uncertainties of life. So he comes to each of us in his fullness. He is Jesus, the one whom we can be totally comfortable with. The human, but also the divine, the Christ, the one who is Lord, we can trust in the midst of even our own foibles and failures. There's not one of us who is faultless. As a trusting believer in Jesus Christ, and yet we can be totally comfortable with this Jesus. John was not perfect as he leant back on Jesus that evening of the Lord's Supper, and yet Jesus is completely available to John. But Jesus is also the Christ. And even as you lean upon him and know that intimacy and that comfort and that encouragement and that acceptance, we also know Jesus, the Christ, the one who is Lord and is more than sufficient for all the circumstances of our lives, even the example of the circumstances within us, our own foibles, inadequacies, failures, as well as strengths, the things that we get right in life. My message to you from Scripture is simply this: deepen in your relationship with Jesus, the Christ. to see the two dimensions of this unique and wonderful person for us. I was reminded this morning of a couple of things. My mind was taken back to around August, September 2017. And I remember very clearly going in for the first time to get a CT scan, which revealed the extent of my physical need at that time. And I remember lying on the table before it trundled into the big donut, which is a CT scanner. And I had a vision of Jesus just near my head, just off to my right-hand side. And he wasn't obviously speaking, but the words that came to me were the vernacular, "I've got this." And I was reminded again of that moment of experiencing the presence of Christ, which has happened very infrequently in my life, but are precious times. I've talked about anticipation. I want to draw through a few threads together of what I've been sharing with you over the last few weeks. Jesus can and does reveal himself to us at particular times according to his will and purpose. Do anticipate that you may experience the presence of Christ in your life. Don't be closed off to it. Be anticipating that, because it could well occur for you. Moments when faith becomes sight. That moment 5.5 years ago, every now and again comes back to me. An encouragement, yes, Christ is with me, and he holds this situation. And I can just rest in that without knowing exactly how it is all going to work out. The second thought I want to bring to you just quickly is something I read in my readings this very morning from Acts chapter 5. And it says there, day after day in the temple, this is after the apostles and the disciples were beaten and told, don't go and talk about Jesus, end of that. And it says, the apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had counted worthy of suffering the disgrace for the name of Jesus. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. He is the anointed one, the chosen one of God. He is the Redeemer, the one sent. That is the core of our message, that this man, Jesus, in his full humanity, is also Messiah, Christos, the anointed one. That is the center of our personal faith journey in life and beyond. The core is that Jesus is the Christ. He is Messiah. And it is the core, the heart of the good news that we bring to our neighbors, to our friends, to the shopkeeper that we might get to know, to whomever God brings across the path of our life. The core of our message is that Jesus is the Christ, the chosen one, the Redeemer, sent by God, the Father, to redeem back to him, ultimately all of creation. But first, the children, the ones who will be the children of God. Just to conclude, God is good all the time. God loves me. All the time. God delights in me. All the time. Little hesitations. We can say this with absolute confidence because when we come to faith in Jesus, we are placed into Christ. And God's unwavering favor shines on us because we're hid in Christ. Yes, we in ourselves are conscious that we still have foibles, but we are secure and safe in Christ because we are hidden in Him. And now God's entire favor and delight and love is free to shine upon us without any shadow of turning. So we can say, God delights in me, and all the time,
always
delights in me. I want to add just a couple more. Jesus is with me all the time. Jesus is my best friend all the time. Jesus the Christ is all I need all the time. All the time. Jesus is the Christ, is all I need. Allow these profound and simple truths become the bedrock of how you live in faith with our glorious Savior and our beloved Heavenly Father and that indwelling Holy Spirit whose presence makes us physically, literally, the temple of God. May you continue to grow in your walk as you follow your Savior, your Redeemer, your coming King, Jesus the Christ. Amen.